So Kyle, tell us what just happened to you this weekend. You said you got the first something of the season. What was that?
Sunburn.
It's April, Kyle. How'd you get a sunburn in April?
It was hot on Saturday, and it wasn't cloudy. I was working a rugby game, two of them. I was standing on the sidelines for 4 hours, and only one half of like my head, neck, the side of my legs that saw the sun, both sides just fried. And now it's peeling.
That's pretty soft. Yeah. No sunscreen. Come on.
I didn't even think about it. But that UV index, it just gets you every time.
Okay, true. All right, welcome back to another episode of the West End Podcast. I'm Weston and sunburn free.
And I'm Kyle and almost sunburn free.
Almost. All right, so on today's episode of the podcast, Kyle and I thought we would address something that we feel is important for society at large. And that is manners and etiquette when you're in public situations. So now, I'll share really quick. The reason this was on my mind is just today I was at Shoppers Drug Mart, and I had just gone in. I had bought some Fisherman's Friend, and I was coming out, and there was a gentleman ahead of me who was very slow moving, and I had to wait a little while for him to check out. It wasn't a big deal. I wasn't in a rush. And then as we're leaving, we go out the door of Shoppers Drug Mart, and this girl's walking by, and she's in high school, probably grade 11, grade 12. And she, without even, this is so bizarre, but without even looking, she just hawked and spat and turned her head and spat on the ground.
Just a big loogie.
It was, I've never seen a woman do this before. Actually, that's not true. Canadian women's national soccer team, they do that all the time. This woman was not one of those women, so doesn't apply. And she just spits this huge loogie. Like, I'm talking an inch from this older gentleman's foot. And I was shocked. I didn't even know what to say. And I just looked at her and I went, wow. I said, that was polite. And she just kept walking, and she turned her, and Kyle, this is her response to this. The older gentleman, I don't think noticed, but I did, and it was gross. I've never seen a girl do this ever in public. And she turns around and goes, "It's okay, I'm an athlete." I was like, yes, and it's like, yes, and I work for Polygon. Like, cool.
What?
No bearing whatsoever on the situation. She's like, "Yeah, I'm an athlete." Okay, sweet. Like, I have brown hair. Cool. I couldn't believe it.
An athlete excused her manners.
Yeah, well,
in her mind.
Well, it's like every athlete. It's like Johnny Manziel. He's an athlete, Kyle. He can trash his rental suite for, you know, 20 grand worth of damage. I'm an athlete.
Okay, I have a question, though.
It's a get out of jail free card.
Would you have reacted the same way if it was a guy who did it?
If it was a guy? Yeah, the guy, he turned, if the guy, this girl turned and spat towards the gentleman.
But did she see the gentleman, you think?
You have to, Kyle, you don't just go spitting around willy-nilly.
Like, I agree, but like,
you're not a camel, like, you're not a llama.
I spit in public sometimes, like not in public, like in a square where there's a million people, but like outside.
If you're on the golf course and you're like, ugh, like I swallowed a bug, then yeah, you spit it out.
Like the other day I was watching a soccer game at Langley Events, and I just like beside me went down on the ground. Like,
I'm sure you observed the situation.
But would you have said something to me?
No, I probably wouldn't have said it to the girl if she hadn't turned and like cocked her head in the direction of this guy.
So she made a performance out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, she almost hit the guy's foot. Anyway, I digress. All that got me thinking, manners and etiquette in public situations, and there's certain things that just rub you the wrong way, you know? And so Kyle and I thought we'd do an episode where we talk about some common kind of faux pas having to do with manners and etiquette that we see happen. You've probably experienced them. You may be guilty of some of these in public, and here's how to correct them. So first on the list, and living in Vancouver, this is highly relevant, umbrella etiquette in public. So here's the situation. You have your umbrella out. It's pouring in rain. Everyone around you has their umbrellas out. You're walking on a sidewalk. Someone's approaching you with an umbrella. It's obvious that if you keep on your current course, your umbrellas will inevitably collide, sending one of you careening either into a storefront window or onto the street. How do you handle this situation? What do you do?
Use a jacket with a hood.
Use a hooded jacket. Okay. Well, let's say that's not an option. The correct way to handle that situation is the person with the larger umbrella or the taller person lifts their umbrella over the height of the shorter person's umbrella so that there is no collision, that, the shorter person doesn't get... the taller person raises their umbrella so as not to get themselves dripped on with rain, and you pass by pleasantly, and you're on your way. Kyle, you would be shocked how many umbrella collisions I've seen out at UBC in my time there.
See, out here,
shocking, absolutely shocking.
Out here in the valley, there's not enough people for that to happen, so I never have this issue. But like you telling me this, in my head, I'm thinking this is actually an issue.
Well, you get a bunch of 19, 20-year-old, 21-year-old kids who, you know, clearly never worked an umbrella before. I'm sure they've walked in public before.
But it's probably just more selfish. Like, oh.
Oh, people just
I'm
freeze.
Not moving.
Everyone just assumes that the Red Sea will part for them.
Right.
That's not the case. And so manners in public, this is one of those things like people... Being an observer in that situation is hilarious because someone always gets their umbrella crumpled, and then umbrellas have a bit of that spring to them, so then their umbrella flings out and ends up spraying someone with water who's coming next.
Oh, man.
And it's just an unpleasant, because now there's three people who are kind of perturbed by this. So if you're walking in public with an umbrella, if you're taller than the person coming at you, raise your umbrella. Or if your umbrella is obnoxiously large, if you're taking a Cleveland golf umbrella with you in public,
golf umbrella,
you're dumb. Like there is no way around this. You're at a new level of stupidity if you're using golf umbrellas as your daily umbrella. Don't be cheap. Go buy a new umbrella that's like normal person sized. Exactly. Anyway, so that's a common scenario in our city that I've seen play out way too many times to even admit, but
I can't believe that
easily avoidable.
I can't believe that's even an issue. Like that just seems obvious. Oh, yep, I'm taller. I'll just go oop, a little bit up.
Society is dumb, Kyle.
You're not wrong.
No. All right. Second order of business. What to do when you're seated on a SkyTrain or a bus and you have a seat. And someone else comes onto the bus or onto the SkyTrain and is clearly in need of the seat more than you. What do you do?
Okay, let's define who would be more in need of the seat than I. And these are the people that I can come up with. An elderly person. A person who is handicapped in any way, whether they're using a cane, they're on crutches, something like that.
Yeah.
Or a mother with young children.
What about... I would even include, just as a man, I would include any lady in that category.
See, I probably wouldn't get up for just any lady or any female. Mm-hmm. Like if a 13-year-old girl walked on, I'm probably not getting up.
I'm just speaking for myself, but I think your list is
you're a greater man than I.
Quite encompassing. So in that situation, what do you, because I've seen again so many times where I've been on the SkyTrain, I've been standing. I usually like standing anyway. I get dizzy far too easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll stand and there'll be a guy sitting down and someone with one of the aforementioned criteria comes in.
Yeah.
And they make eye contact with the person sitting down. And the person just sits there as if to say like, well, sorry, like too bad your stop was one later than mine. Looks like you're going to have to like really struggle to stand there. And it's brutal because sometimes these people, like an elderly person clutching that pole in the center of the SkyTrain is very difficult for them to do.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, this young, able-bodied, like 23-year-old kid, this punk kid sitting there with his Beats headphones on, rocking out to Gangnam Style, whatever he listens to.
See, if one of those...
It's like, come on, like, show a little respect.
Yeah, if one of those three people that I mentioned is walking on, I'm getting up 100% of the time.
There you go.
But society's entitlement and selfishness trumps in their mind.
Stupid is as stupid does, Kyle.
Yeah.
In that situation, in that particular instance, I offered the gentleman who was struggling my space to stand in, because I had kind of a corner standing spot where you could lean with your body weight. So I offered him mine. He took it. And he was very, very, very thankful because he said to me, he said, I can't physically cannot stand like this. I didn't mention the guy not giving his seat up or anything.
That's my next question. Do you say something to the person who didn't give up their seat?
No, you don't, because you know what? The purpose of you and I, Kyle, having this discussion with our listeners is not to change the minds and not to get them to go and like start calling people out for not doing what we're saying.
Yeah.
We are informing the listener
so
that when they are in that situation, they can act. You can never change someone else's actions like that. And you know, if you said something to that guy, he'd come back at you and say, "Well, I was here first, blah 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 blah. I vote green, whatever," right? Like
I vote green.
Yeah, just why he's on the bus and not riding his unicycle. Anyway, so it's one of those things where you're never going to change that guy's mind unless something or someone changes it, external to you.
Right.
But this is more just for our listeners so that they can be more informed.
Yeah, all right. So don't be jerks.
Don't be jerks. Okay, this next one's funny. Public restrooms. Here's the scenario. I don't know what it's like for women. I've never been into the women's restroom, so I can't
speak. Never, ever?
I've been into the women's change room. That sounded terrible. It was not. It was at school. I had to go, and there was something one of the PE teachers asked me to get. It was like a clipboard or something. This was after school, so there was no ladies in the change room, but I ended up going to the ladies' change room, and unsurprisingly, it was way cleaner than the men's change room at my high school.
So you've never been in a women's restroom?
Well, I've seen if the door is open,
But you've never been inside. And
no, I've never walked in.
You never had,
knowingly.
At a youth all-nighter, been like, ooh, like 13-year-old me, I'm going to be such a rebel and pee in the girls' bathroom this time.
No, gosh.
What?
What is wrong with you?
Not me. I'm speaking for a friend.
What is wrong with you? So, restroom etiquette. So, for guys, this is the common scenario. You walk into a restroom. Movie theaters are notorious for this, and everything is just wet. Countertops soaking wet. Paper towels strewn everywhere. Stadiums are the same.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere. You think it's like Jackson Pollock came in there and did a number with any sort of fluid he could on all the walls and all that. It's gross.
Who's Jackson Pollock?
He's an artist famous for splatter painting.
Okay, I thought
if you just took a paintbrush and went like flick, like that's what it looked like. It's gross.
I thought this was another movie reference I wasn't getting.
No, not quite.
Okay.
So Kyle, share with us from your experience just some general tips for the gentlemen and I guess the ladies as well, just on restroom etiquette.
Okay. For the guys?
In public restrooms. Whatever you do in your own home, whatever.
Okay, if you're a guy and the urinals are all taken, but there's a stall and you only have to pee, right? Usually I go, but put the freaking seat up.
Oh,
or
I know.
Or if you're not going to, fine, but wipe before you leave.
That's at so minimum, disgusting.
At minimum. And
scum of the earth right there.
Oh, seriously. And then one thing I've heard for girls, I obviously don't have the parts for this, but...
But you've gone into the women's change room, which clearly makes you an expert on the matter.
Yes. So when I was at UBC, someone posted or showed me a photo of what was written on the inside of a female stall, and it was the rules or the etiquette for peeing in the women's room.
Oh, perfect.
And the biggest complaint this person had was, I guess girls, if there is pee on the seat already, girls don't want to wipe it. Or put a seat thing down, they just hover over the seat. So they'll squat and not touch.
I bet they don't even full squat. They probably do half squats too, which isn't even a squat. So,
but they will just hover over the seat. They won't touch the seat.
Of course.
And girls' urination is different than guys. And I guess spray or splatter ends up on the seat more. So the next person has the same dilemma and they'll do the same thing. And then you've got a seat.
Exponential increase of pee.
Yeah. So this person on the wall said, put your butt on the seat and pee like a normal person. And then there will not be a problem for the person after you.
Perfect. Going back to the gentleman, this is a common question. I you know what's weird? I've been asked this question an absurd number of times. And it's on urinal etiquette for men. When you go in and there's the wall of urinals, which do you take?
Have you ever played the urinal game?
I won the urinal game.
Me too.
So, yeah, it's good. So the urinal game first, if you're ever the first one in and there's a line of urinals,
you
always
pick whatever you want.
No, false.
I do.
Common misconception. Because if you pick whatever you want, you could potentially be screwing it up for everyone following you. What you do is you take the one farthest towards the wall. You go in the corner. So that anyone
farthest
else,
away from the entry.
And we're not talking urinals that have dividers between them, because in that case, it doesn't matter which one you take. We're talking your classic no divider. They're right next to each other, so your elbow is bumping someone else's elbow urinal. If you're first, you take the farthest one.
Farthest from the entry. Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to pee right by the door. And then every other subsequent gentleman that enters should leave a one urinal space between until this is no longer possible. So it's gentleman, urinal. So you're leaving a gap. And only then, if other people, this is common at stadiums when people, you know, you're all peeing between
but
periods.
This rule is thrown out at stadiums, concerts. Then you're just peeing beside whoever when there's a free
when
urinal,
you're in a
you
rush.
Take it. No, if there's a line, you're not going to be.
Well,
nope,
if you're in line for a
that.
Urinal, it's a whole different ball game. But this is like if you're at a restaurant, say,
yeah,
or something
right,
like
yeah,
that.
I agree
or
with the restaurant.
Park, whatever. That's what you do, and you fill in the gaps when it only becomes necessary.
And the first gap you fill is the end. So you're only standing beside one person, not
true.
Two.
You're very true. Very right. And then, you know, worst case scenario, if you're uncomfortable with that, you either go in a stall or you wait, 30 seconds before one frees up? Not a big deal, but it's crazy. I've been asked that question a lot by guys who are like, hey, like, what? And I don't know what makes them think I know this. Maybe they heard that I won the urinal game. It's on my resume.
Accomplishment,
life skills, knows where to stand in the bathroom. So that's restrooms. And I think also, like, don't be the guy. We always wash your hands, always, always, always. But don't flick your hands all over the countertop. Come on, be considerate. You have to use whatever. If they only have the hand dryer,
I hate
that
those.
Sucks. I just wipe it on my jeans if that.
Exactly.
But I don't flick my hands on the mirror or on the counter or drip everywhere if you can help it. Just being considerate. And you know what? These things almost, you feel like they sound stupid when you say them out loud, and they are, but people don't do them.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's good to know. All right. Next on the docket for manners and etiquette in public is holding doors. Now, you always hear women complain, oh, men need to be more chivalrous. They need to show chivalry. They need to open doors.
I love your female voice.
It just kind of changed a little bit. But it's like, they need to open doors. They need to show me that he cares. And then like a week later, you see a meme on Facebook where it's like that face you make when someone holds the door, but you're 20 steps away and you now have to break into a mild jog to reach the door. And it's some like grumpy Raven Simone sassy face.
Okay, so how far is too far?
Well, you and I have different opinions on this, Kyle. So share with our listeners what you think proper door holding etiquette is.
I think, well, obviously, anyone female or elderly or with kids, kind of like on the SkyTrain, you hold the door for. Distance-wise, this is always debate. I don't have a rule. I just eyeball it and say, yep, if that person's close enough and I feel like they need the door held, maybe I'll hold it for them.
See, now my opinion is that if I'm in a position to hold the door for a couple of people, I will. You don't want to turn into the guard at the door who, you know, your date has gone
the
through the door and you're now holding it for 30 other people filing in, and your date's in there thinking, oh, I wonder where my boyfriend is. And you're at the door holding it, being a hero.
She might like that.
Maybe. Probably not. She'd get lost. So my general rule is if they're within an arm's length or two arms length of being behind you, that's proper etiquette for opening a door. Because I do agree, you don't want to hold a door and cause someone the inconvenience of having to break into a run, quicken their pace. Because some people are, you know, they're in no hurry and opening a door is not a big deal for them. But in general, if they're an arm's length or two behind me, I will just kind of hold the door. And typically, they'll grab the door and they'll hold it for the next. And it's kind of a pay it forward type deal.
Yeah.
This really should go without saying, but you get dumb people saying dumb things. And then girls come up and wondering why guys never hold doors, and guys saying, well, on one hand, you say you're strong and, you know, you can do all these things on your own, yet complain when I don't. So this will hopefully resolve that matter. Next on the docket, lineup or queue etiquette. So this, an example would be you're standing in line at Starbucks or standing in line for a movie. Movie theater popcorn. Here's the scenario. You're standing in line. You've been waiting patiently 5 minutes or so. Person in front of you, standing alone, all of a sudden, seven of their buddies come up and join them and squish into line ahead of you. What happens with that?
Okay, I don't know.
Because we've all had that happen to us.
For me, if they're just standing in line with him, fine. But once they one by one decide that they're each going to buy something separately, I'll probably say something. But if they're just like, if you are in line and me and Sam and Jolene come and join you and stand with you in line, but we're all ordering together and only one person's paying, fine. But if that gets broken up into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, however many people paying individually different orders, that's not cool.
So the epitome of this for me was I was at Brooks Brothers recently.
What is Brooks Brothers?
It's a clothing store, and they have a bunch, but I was at the one by the airport, okay, by YVR.
Yes.
And there was two lines. One was moving really quick, and other was moving really slow. And it got to the point where the one that was moving really slow, people were getting verbally and visibly frustrated. And so I was standing in line, and this lady... And there was one of those velvet ropes between the two lines separating side A from side B.
Yeah.
She was on the slow side. I was on the quicker side. And she lifted the rope and just stepped right in front of me.
Interesting.
And it's funny because I think someone said like, oh, like I didn't know you could do that. Mm-hmm. And she just looked at me and said, my line was going slow.
Oh, well. Well, then.
The most hilarious part was the guy behind me steps out and just tore a strip up one side and down the other.
Ooh.
I think he spoke about 5 different languages during his little rant, but he was just yelling at this woman about how like she was being rude. And well, it was funny because like she just thought she was entitled to cut in front of anyone, decided I looked rather amicable, so she would cut in front of me. And it was pretty funny. I've never seen that done in my life where someone just did it and didn't and just fessed up and was like, yeah, my line was going slow. I'm going to budge.
I guess on one side, good for her.
She is a strong, independent woman, Kyle. Oh, she was being brave in that moment. She was being brave.
Okay, how about if you're with someone else and there's two lines and one of you goes in one line and one of you goes in the other line and sees which one's faster?
That's just a fun game. Now, the problem becomes if all of a sudden you decide to go and switch over to the other person's line, what you can do in that situation, I would say the same goes for if you're waiting in line at the movie theater and those 7 people cut in front of you in line. It's not a problem until they start ordering all their stuff. And in that situation, for our listeners, what you would do, if you're one of those 7 people who has just budged in line, in order to be respectful to the other patrons who have been waiting their turn, you tell your friend who was in line what you would like to order, and they order it for you, so there's not this huge line of people clogging up, and then you leave and you pay your friend back when you get a chance.
Yeah, see, I have no issue with people doing that. That doesn't bug me.
Oh, well, you have a very long temper, Wick. All right. Lastly, Kyle, this was your idea too. What to do when what is proper aisle etiquette, either at stadiums or airplanes? Kyle, so can you explain this a little bit to our listeners if they're having trouble catching on? Aisle etiquette.
Either you're at a movie theater, you're at a concert, you're on an airplane, whatever. There's always that person that is up and down 20 times during the game.
Oh, and then you got to stand, scrunch your knee in, do that awkward
and then you have to
knees
decide,
to the side deal.
Yep. And then there's the dilemma for the person getting out. Do they go forward to you? Do they give you your front side? Or do they give you their backside? And so that's a whole nother dilemma.
Danger at both ends, Kyle.
Exactly. But they're up to get beer, then they're going to come back, and then they're up to get another beer, and then they're up to get popcorn, and then they got to take the kid to the bathroom, and then they got to do this, and they got to do that. get a freaking aisle seat.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean,
especially on the airplane, because there's only usually two or three seats on the one side.
Yeah.
Get the aisle. What I do, I love the window seat on an airplane. I need the window every time.
Really? I hate the window. I love the aisle.
Oh, I love seeing.
I like just being able to kick my... I have really long legs, so I like being able to kick my legs out.
Yeah, that's fair. But I always pee before I get on the airplane.
Smart man.
And if we're on like a 9-hour, 10-hour flight, like when Sam and I are going to New Zealand next week, I think that's like acceptable to get up and go pee because... most people need to pee within
Well, you're on
10
the airplane
hours.
For virtually half of a day.
Exactly.
It's only biologically normal that you would do that.
But if you're flying from here to LA and it's like a 2.5-hour flight, you should probably be able to pee before and then pee when you land at the airport.
It's like being in PE class.
Yeah.
You can do it.
You can do it.
It's like playing soccer 90 minutes.
Don't be the person that's up and down 100 times because that's just rude, disruptive, annoying, and I'm going to really start to dislike you.
So let's just say you do have to get up. What do you do? Do you give the front or the back side as you shimmy past your fellow moviegoers?
I usually give the front so I can say, sorry, thank you, as I'm going to my seat.
Mm-hmm. Correct. I like that. It's more personable, and then you know, if someone's backside right in your face. I like that. It's a good approach. Yeah. Do you put a cap on the number of times that you can get up during a performance or a game or an airplane flight? Depending on the let's say it's a hockey game or a movie, so you're talking like 2 hours.
Okay, a hockey game or a movie, you should be able to go like the 30 minutes between periods.
Yeah.
Without having to get up.
That's what the break is meant for.
Or wait for a whistle if you're at a hockey game, right? If you want to beat the beer lineup at intermission and you want to go when there's 3 minutes left, wait for a whistle, then go. I'm not going to have an issue with that.
What about movie theater where you're interrupting an experience that someone's paid for?
Yeah. Movie theater,
repeatedly.
You should be sitting the entire time. Mm-hmm. Unless you are like me, I'm the exception to the rule because I'm special.
Of course you are.
And you finish your large popcorn during the previews.
Okay, and guilty of that too.
You need to go get the refill before the movie starts.
Okay.
That is what I do.
Okay. All right, well, there you have it. Just our take on some manners and etiquette to use in public scenarios. So to recap, we talked about umbrellas, sky trains and bus etiquette, restrooms, how and when to hold the door, how to properly show respect in a lineup, and what to do if you have to squeeze past someone in the aisle at a stadium, game, movie theater, or on an airplane. All right. Well, that does it for this edition of the West End Podcast. I'm Weston. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be today, Kyle?
I'll be Kyle Enns today.
Okay, I'll be Weston with Dan. And as they would say in Albanian, Lem Shumir.